Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew and then the Gospel of 1 John. First, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then out of 1 John, at chapter 3, verse 17, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." And again, that's 1 John chapter 3. The other day I was having breakfast with a longtime friend. We see each other around town a good bit and keep up by phone calls, texts, and through others who relay messages. But we hadn't had an opportunity to really catch up and talk about things going on in our lives face to face for a while. His birthday happened to be just around the corner, and all of a sudden realizing he is a couple of years from Medicare, he was doing what we all do when we get a bit older, wondering what his life stood for. I told him, tongue in cheek, to remember that he was probably just, quote, middle-aged, close quote, no matter what others might say, and that his new birthday was only a number. Despite that, he wondered aloud whether he had been doing the important things in life or just meeting the world's checklist of what the world said was important, all the things that the world tends to measure to define whether we are successful or not. He had done well in business, had provided for his family, but he wondered if he really hadn't missed something. Had his life really made a difference? Would anyone remember him because their lives are better? What was the real definition of a successful life, and was his successful? Although still vital, and in good health, desiring to continue using his gifts and his passions, he felt like time was running out to live a life of real success, of meaning, and he began wondering, with me, exactly what that life looked like. Sound familiar? Sure. We all go through that, but we also have life ahead of us. Anyway, here's a little quiz, which you may have heard some form of before. Listen as I read it. And without looking, now or later, but just from your own memory, see how many answers you know. And we don't have time to pause on each question and give you time to think about it, so listen fast. Here you go. 1. Name the 5 wealthiest people in the world. 2. Name the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners. 3. Name the last 5 winners of the Miss America contest. 4. Name 10 people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize or the Pulitzer Prize. 5. Name the last 6 Academy Award winners for Best Actor and Actress. 6. Name the last decade's worth of World Series winners. How'd you do? I knew a few, but really I had no idea as to most of them. It would take me doing some research for a while to get the answers. I couldn't remember those headlines and headliners of yesterday, but when we see the answers, we will see that these were not second-rate achievers. Individuals, teams, or groups, they're some of the best in their fields, and we still couldn't remember them. Why? Because the applause dies. Awards and stuff tarnishes. Achievements are forgotten. Things break and rust. Money doesn't satisfy. Accolades, certificates, resumes, and sideline cheers are buried with their owners. So, if not those things to signify a successful life, what then does a truly successful life look like? Here, now try this quiz and see how you do. 1. List a few teachers who helped you on your journey through school. 2. Name three friends who have helped you at various times through a difficult time. Three, name five people who have taught you something worthwhile. Four, think of three people who have made you feel appreciated and special. Five, think of five people you enjoy spending time with. Six, name a half dozen heroes whose stories have inspired you. How was that for you? Easier? No research needed, right? Just searching your heart and personal memories. The lesson? Maybe it's a reminder that when we look close at the things the world says are important, we see that the trophies are tarnished, records are broken, relationships lost, money didn't satisfy, and championship rings no longer fit. The people who make a difference in our lives aren't the ones with the most credentials, the celebrities or stars, the athletes or record setters, those who have the most money or the most trophies and awards, but they are the ones who made a difference in our lives, whom we can easily call to mind as the ones who cared for us. I wonder if we might consider then that their lives are successful. I wonder if their lives and how they touched ours was what Christ was talking about in the passage from Matthew we read before when he said, "When you helped the least of those among us, you helped me." Napoleon Hill once said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them." A dear friend of mine, James Brown, host of CBS Sports, the NFL Today, and Showtime's Inside the NFL and the James Brown Show, founding partner of the Washington Nationals baseball team and co-founder of the Brown Technology Group, helping many of our youth become all that they were created to be, shared this example of the caring love that God calls us to in his wonderful book, quote, "Role of a Lifetime," close quote, that he wrote with my son, Nathan. Here's the story. Having played baseball in the old Negro National League for the Kansas City Monarchs, in 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play baseball in the major leagues. He played that year and throughout his career for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was named Rookie of the Year. In 1949, he won the batting championship with a .342 average and was selected the National League's most valuable player. He ended his career with a lifetime .311 batting average, and in 1962 was elected to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. But Jackie Robinson's life and career were not all glory and awards. Instead, it was one in which he was constantly faced with painful racial slurs and hatred from people with unfounded and deep-seated prejudice toward blacks in general simply because of the color of their skin. On one occasion, more than three generations ago, when Jackie Robinson's team was playing in Cincinnati against the Reds, angry racial taunts reached a deafening level. A white teammate, Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop, and a much-respected player among the players and fans, called timeout right during the middle of the game, right during the middle of an inning. As the crowd began to quiet, wondering what was unfolding before them, Reese slowly walked over to Jackie Robinson at his second base position, put his arm around his shoulder, and stood there silently. It was a wordless, caring, and eloquently powerful message which said to the now silent crowd, "This man is my friend. This man is my brother." As Jesus loved us, he calls us to love, to help, and care for others. Everyone we meet, family, friends, people we agree with, and those we disagree with, the poor, the neglected, the discriminated, the hated. He calls us to let his light shine through us for everyone. Another dear friend of mine, Kelly McGregor, who many of you knew or heard of, had a wonderful habit. Kelly was the former president of the Colorado Rockies Baseball Club who died and stepped into heaven in 2010, a bit too early for those who knew him. Kelly would wake up each morning committed to making a difference in the life of at least one person that day. That was his overarching mission for every day, and he did. And as you can imagine, he impacted many, many lives for good each day simply because he cared. Well, anyway, back to my friend at breakfast. He really knew the answer already, but that morning, as he was faced with a new number for his age. He recommitted to living the successful life that he knew he was supposed to live, and he really had, one which cares for people, for everyone he knows and meets, one which lifts the lives of others around him, wherever they are. How about you? How about me? No matter the number now designating our age, younger, older, or maybe you're still claiming to be middle age, a life of success, one which cares, which loves and lifts others around us, wherever they are, until we draw our last breath in this life. That is a successful life. Sounds about right, doesn't it? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. This time together with dear friends, thank you for the simple reminders. That's not about the stuff. It's not about the money. It's not about the trophies. It's not about the resumes. It's about the impact, the love, the caring that we show to those around us. Just like you did for us and still do for us, you call us to do for others. Help us to be that encouragement, that love for others, and especially those that no one else wants to love. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.